Radio Netherlands, the Dutch International Service, presents a research file special about the moon. The programme was compiled by Anne Blair Gould and is presented by astronomer and writer Govert Schilling.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, and let me see what spring is like on a Jupiter and Mars. In other words,
the moon is really our closest neighbor in space. To us, it's one of the most significant objects in the sky. The sun and the moon are two celestial objects everybody knows. They are the biggest ones. You can see a disk of them. You don't see disks of planets or of stars. That's not because the moon is very large, but because it's very close to the Earth. The moon is Earth's nearest neighbor in space. The distance is measured in kilometers, not in light years or astronomical units or whatever. It's just under 400,000 kilometers, and that's not very far away. It's in our cosmic backyard, you could say.
Saw the moon rise from the water, rippling, rounding from the water. Saw the flecks and shadows on it. Whispered, "What is that, Nokomis?" And the good Nokomis answered. Once a warrior, very angry, seized his grandmother and threw her up into the sky at midnight. Right against the moon he threw her. 'Tis her body that you see there.
Long ago, people looked very different at the moon than we do. The moon was seen as a heavenly object in the literal sense of the word. It had nothing to do with affairs here on our own Earth, which was called the sublunar world. And for that reason, the moon was seen as something of a perfect object. It had godly characters like the stars and the sun and the planets. Nobody thought about the moon as a world on which you could walk, a world that you could go to. And this was a very different kind of experience than we have today. Because when they looked at the moon and they thought about it as some sort of a godly creature, it was very strange to think of it in terms of a surface with mountains and other structures on it. And that was maybe one of the reasons that all these dark patches that we can see on the moon with our unaided eye, that nobody or hardly anybody wrote about it in ancient times. The moon was considered to be a perfect world, a silvery disk, and that was it. And although everybody could see it wasn't, maybe they fooled themselves into thinking about it that way.
Many Asian countries have a tradition of seeing a hare in the moon. In a tale that survives in several versions, the traveling Buddha loses his way in the woods. He's found by a hare who offers to guide him. Buddha says that he's only a poor and hungry man and that he cannot repay the favor. The hare responds by offering himself as a sacrificial meal to the Buddha and jumps quickly into the fire. Buddha shows his gratitude by rescuing the hare just as quickly and throwing him up into the sky, up to the moon, where he can be seen even now.
When you look at the moon without a telescope, you see this dark blotches, these dark patches on the moon. You can see a face in it or a hair or whatever, and that is just a part of lunar mythology, of course. But when you use a telescope, you see that the dark patches on the moon are really, they are not seas as people used to think a couple of hundreds of years ago. They are the lunar lowlands. They are basins that have been filled up with magma from the lunar interior a long time ago. And on the lunar highlands, the bright parts of the moon, you see a lot of craters and mountains. And this is really the old surface of the moon. And it still bears the scars of this heavy bombardment from the early times of the history of the solar system. So the moon has really a very varied landscape. And now there's, of course, something very strange to the moon. And this is the fact that you always see only one side of the moon. We are never able to see the backside of the moon because the moon always turns its same side towards the Earth while revolving around the planet. And everybody was very curious how the backside of the moon would look like. And in 1959, the Soviet Union already was able to send an unmanned space probe behind the moon, make photographs of the backside of the moon and return them back to Earth. And on this first very vague photos, we saw that the backside of the moon was really comparable to the near side, with one important exception. There are not very much dark lava plains like we see on the near side of the moon. So it's mainly craters and mountains on the backside. Now, there's a very strange thing about this backside of the moon, because people used to call it, and some people still do, used to call it the dark side of the moon. And that's strange, of course, because the moon doesn't give light itself. It is illuminated by the sun.